think they'll teach you a lot about God, and I think you'll understand a lot of how God works and give you a lot of truth and a lot of important things, but I don't think it's fascinating, dynamic preaching. A lot of scripture and a lot of explaining, and it's deeper. Deeper truths sometimes aren't as easy to preach. It's easy to preach, you know, thus saith the Lord, and just, you know, rip and snort, and that's easy to preach a message like that, and nothing wrong with that, but deep, deep things take some explaining, and so this is a little bit deeper. But I think if you get it, and I know the kids, it'll be a little tougher for them just to listen in, but if you get it, I think it'll help you a lot and understand a lot of important things about God and how He works, and is a big part of the Bible, and as we'll see that as we continue to study this. Exodus 19, verse 1, it says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For there they departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched into the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God and the Lord, and came unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how that I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom, and priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Then Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before them, before their faces, all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." All right, we're going to pray and talk about Israel's conditional covenant. Let's pray. And Lord, Lord, just delve into your word tonight, Lord. And it's a lot of doctrine, Lord, a lot of verses. We pray the word would be rightly divided, the Spirit would speak, and we would have ears to hear, Father. If those three things would happen, it would be a great night. And I pray tonight we'd get practical truth and understand it and grasp it. And just pray that you'd speak to us now, Father. We need your word, your Spirit. And Lord, I believe this is what you have us to be in the word, Lord. But Father, being in your place without your help is vain, Father. We need your help. And we pray you bless now this time. And please speak to us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you care and you've given us a service and the opportunity, Lord, with these faithful people to hear your word. May a faithful man abound with blessings, Lord, and people be blessed for being here. We just ask you to take time and be with us now tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we call this the Mosaic Covenant. This is Israel's covenant through Moses to, or God's covenant through Moses to Israel. And they call it the Mosaic Covenant. And it's the major covenant between God and Israel. We went last week into a couple different covenants. We started on Noah. And Noah had a covenant with God, kind of did it with Noah, but really it was all the world. And he made a covenant that he'd never flood the world, and he made a rainbow and promised that. And we just touched on Abraham's covenant. God gave Abraham some promises and made a covenant with Abraham. And then the biggest covenant of the Bible, probably, certainly of the Old Testament, is God's covenant with Israel here at Mount Sinai. And it's called the law, and it's a big part of it. And God made a covenant with them, and at this point, God says, if you will take my covenant, I will do a bunch of things for you, and you will be peculiar treasure to me. And he said, what do you think? And Moses went down to the people, and they said, tell God, we will do that covenant. We will make that arrangement. A covenant is an arrangement. So they made the arrangement, the agreement with God, and they entered into that covenant, and then God said, okay, we are in a covenant together now. And there's three basic areas of this covenant we're going to just look at real briefly to understand this covenant. And every week, pretty much, we'll talk about a different covenant. There's lots to cover. We won't cover all of them in the Bible. But this major covenant had basically three different parts to it. The first part starts right away, and you're real familiar with it because the first part is the moral right and wrong. And first thing, after they say yes, Moses comes up and meets with God. God accepts their covenant, and God says, okay, here I'm going to give you my morality, what I want you to do. And you enter into Exodus 20, which is the Ten Commandments. God spake unto them in chapter 20, verse 1, I am the Lord thy God, and brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me, not make any graven images, and you will keep my Sabbath, and not take my name in vain, and thou shalt not steal, kill, commit adultery. And all the Ten Commandments are here in Exodus chapter 20. And so God says, let me give you a moral part of the covenant. Part of your deal, first of all, you're going to be moral. There's a right and wrong, and this basic, the Ten Commandments are the basic morality of it. And, you know, that applies to a lot of little things. If you don't covet, that covers a lot of things. If you don't, I don't have idolatry, God doesn't need to cover whether it's Molech or Baal or your tree in your backyard. Just don't do idolatry. God doesn't need to go through a list of lying. He just says, thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, God says, here's morality, and you're supposed to be moral people. The second part, on their part, is their relationship with other Israelites, with other children of Israel, with other Jews. And then he starts in chapter 21 of Exodus, and from chapter 19 is, okay, we'll take the covenant, and then chapter 20 through chapter 30, I think it's 34, Exodus goes through. The rest of the book of Exodus is all about, okay, here is my law, here is my part of the covenant, this is what I want you to do and live like. And he gives them all of those things. And so, for example, he's going to talk about how to treat each other and how to get along and all those things. For example, chapter 21, verse 2, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So, somebody doesn't have a job, doesn't have anything to do, they're hopeless and hungry, and you want to buy a servant, and they agree to let you buy them, and they'll serve 6 years, and they're free. You don't keep them after that. And so just a bunch of laws about how to treat each other. For example, go to chapter 21, verse 33. If a man shall open a pit, or a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ass or an ox fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money to the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another's that he die, well, then they shall sell the live ox and provide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall they divide. And so you can see these obvious things, that if you dig a pit, you don't cover it, and somebody else's ox comes, falls in there, you take care of them and do justice. You treat each other right. And in Israel, people, you got to do justice here. And here's the relationship of the Jews with the Jews. And here's how you guys do this. Here's how you get along. So part of the covenant is treating each other right. That's what the Bible says. The law is fulfilled in loving the Lord with all your heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. It's doing justice to your neighbor. And that's chapters 21 through 24. And then God goes into religious observance, how to approach the Lord. And some of this stuff, when you read your Bible through, seems kind of boring. If you read how all of God's ceremonial law, and all God says, here's how you worship me, here's how you come before me, here's how you build a tabernacle, here's how you come before me, here's how you talk to me, here's how you sprinkle the blood, here's how you do a sacrifice. And you read that, and you say, oh, what is this all about? But it's God saying, here's how you approach to me. In my covenant, I want you to come this way to me and to approach to me. Now, later we find in the New Testament in Hebrews, it's going to say the first law wasn't perfect. The first covenant wasn't perfect is what the Bible says. So God needed to make a new covenant. And well, that's a totally different lesson down the road. But the New Testament is a new covenant for anybody who wants to enter into a covenant with God. Because the first one had faults, had problems. The first problem, mankind always failed to keep their side. So the Bible says that it's a law to make us realize our unrighteousness, a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And God said, I made a covenant with you, but you didn't do so hot at it. And so we're going to make a new covenant where I take care of the morality part. In this covenant that God said, you will be my people, I will take care of you like I took you out of Egypt. You shall be my people, I will be your God, I will bless you, I'll take care of you, I'll cover you, I'll protect you, I'll feed you, I'll be your God, you'll be very special to me, and you'll be a peculiar people that are very precious to me, and my own special people, the apple of my eye, you will be that to me. But you've got to keep my commandments and do what I say. The covenant with all of mankind about not flooding the world again was unconditional. He said, I'm going to never flood the world again. Here's my rainbow. Every time I see it, I'll remember my covenant. And I'll never man doesn't have to do anything to get that covenant. God's covenant with Israel was very, very, very full of stipulations. And God said, if you want me to do this, I will demand that you do this. So, in other words, We talked about last week. Build me a deck, I'll pay you $2,000. You will fix my car, I will pay you $300. I will go and dig out your garden if you'll come by and fix my roof. And that's a covenant and a situation where it's conditional. If one person doesn't keep their side, the other one is not bound to keep their side in some covenants. And it's written into the covenant and all those things. It's very important there. It was very conditional. The rest of Exodus after chapter 19 explains Israel's responsibility in this covenant. It's very important. Understand, life is full of covenants that there are stipulations to. And you want to be able to say, I need you to do this, so I will do this. And you want to be careful who you enter into covenants with, because there's going to be stipulations on both sides and in many covenants. And so we see Israel had a responsibility. And let me just show you some. We looked all the way the rest of Exodus, starting the Ten Commandments, and the rest of the book is all about their part. But let me take you to Deuteronomy. In chapter 7, and just show you how this is very conditional. God says, I'm going to do this, and it's amazing. God takes a lot of time, and God will say many times, he'll say, you know what? If you will keep my covenant, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your land. I'm going to give you children, and the children are going to prosper, and I'm going to put a man in the throne, and it's going to last for a long time, and I'm going to bless the fruit of your field, and the rain is going to come. God had a whole bunch of things he was going to do. It would be a wonderful life if you'll do what I say. But God also, all throughout his covenant, says, but if you don't, then this is what will happen. And that's fine. A covenant can be conditional. You just have to tell people. And God did very clearly. And so God's talking about all the blessings he's going to bless them. In chapter 7, in verse 13, and let me start at verse 12. Wherefore shall it come pass, if you will hearken to these judgments and keep to do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy father. Did you notice that? God said, if you will keep my covenant, then I will keep my covenant with you. But God says, if you don't keep my covenant, I am not going to bless you like I told you I would, because you are not doing what was in the covenant, which is part of it. Verse 13, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless thee, the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, and thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give them. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. Thou shalt not be male or female barren among you, or your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but I will lay them upon them that hate thee. What a great deal, if you will keep my covenant. And he says, he gives him, goes on and on about what he will do. And he continues to say, I'm going to bless you and work in your life and do a great thing. Bless above all people. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. He says, if you look in Deuteronomy, you'll see a whole bunch of if, then, if, then, if, then. If you will do this, then I will do this. And if you won't do this, then I will do this. If and then, cause and effect, is all throughout Deuteronomy. And if you just look up those two words in conjunction, you will find them everywhere, all over God's law, because he says, if you will do this, then I'll do this. Chapter 11 and verse 22, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, and to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord bless and drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness unto Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be, and there shall be no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread upon you upon all the land, and ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey my commandment, the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Now wait a minute. This is one of the things that people don't get nowadays, and it's so basic and it's so fundamental, but it's amazing how few of us grasp this, is understand that everything isn't a happy ending to everything going perfect in the end. Everything isn't just going to be good, and you aren't always right with God, and God isn't always going to bless you, and everything isn't going to turn out right in the end, and everything's just going to ethereally floating around in happiness and happy endings of life. There are consequences to life. And everybody wants to be so positive and positive and positive. And I like positive. I like heaven's great and salvation's great and God's love is great and his mercy is great and he'll forgive you and save you. And there's a bunch of positives in the Bible. But understand, there's consequences. And God says, in my covenant, if you will not do what I say, I will punish you. And that's still true in the New Testament. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's Hebrews. That's New Testament. God still says there's consequences. And you can't just think, well, God's merciful. God loves me, so everything's going to be fine. Well, that's fine. And I love my kids, and I'm merciful. But everything's not always fine if they don't obey. And whom the Lord loveth, that he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. And so God says everything isn't like that. There are stipulations on life. And by the way, if you have no stipulations in life, you are not living like God wants you to live, and you will be used and abused and everything else in life. Say, Pastor Brian, you just love people and always just are there for them no matter what they do. Yes, I will always love them. Yes, I'm always merciful and there for what they do, I think. However, in many cases, I put stipulations on people. Do it all the time. I say, you know what? You need to do this. And sometimes somebody will say, I need help. I said, awesome, show up to church and we'll give you help. Sometimes I do that. Stipulation. Sometimes I don't. Depends on who I'm dealing with. Sometimes I'll say, you know what? We're not counseling unless you do this. You know, I don't do premarital counseling unless somebody comes to church. No, I'm wasting my time. I can't get rid of church. And so that's a stipulation. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. That's New Testament. Man won't work, he shouldn't eat. That's a stipulation. It is not wrong. And sometimes people say, you know what? I love my kids, and I know they're not going to obey me, but I'm going to, you know, what can I do? A whole bunch of things. Johnny, you know what? If you don't want to do your chores today, I really hope you can last a long time without food. You say, wait a minute. You shouldn't put conditions on things. Why not? You believe that? If you're a boss, do you believe that? You shouldn't put conditions on your workers. That's not nice. They don't have to show up to work. They don't have to do anything. Conditions are normal. Stipulations in life. And God says, I have stipulations for you, and I'm just not going to let you take advantage of me and do this and this and this. And it's very important, because once you grasp that concept of stipulations for the right things in life, it changes the way people deal with everything. If you want to be my friend, you're going to need to be like this. I'm not going to be friends with everybody. See, Pastor Bob, you think you put stipulations? Read Proverbs on companionship. A whole bunch of stipulations who you hang around. You should have stipulations before you ever think of dating somebody. I want to date somebody that's for this, 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 this. That'd be a good idea. You should have stipulations on all kinds of things. It's a good thing to do. God is very much says, if I'm going to enter into a relationship with you, I'm going to do this. And in life, you've got to learn. You can't just say, you know what? Okay, you want more money? And here's the 30-year-old son who keeps going back to mom and living at home and saying, I need more money. He takes more money, goes and blows it again. Takes more money and says, well, he's my son. I love him. I can't say no to him. Yes, you can. Put some stipulations on it. Say, son, I'm not going to keep paying your bills. You know what? I want the receipts for everything you said you're going to buy. And, you know what, if you don't get a job and you don't apply for this many hours a week, I hope you find a place to live. I had years ago, I had a lady in our church, and she, her son was just abusing her. Oh, it was awful, just taking advantage of her. And he was old as me, young. He was young as me. And he was living, what did I say? Good night. And he was just taking it. I mean, and I told her, you need to tell him if he doesn't do this, he's not going to do this. And she says, I love him. He's my son. I can't do that to him. He'd get upset and this and that. And I said, okay. If you ask my advice, I give you my advice, and you say you can't do that, then I say, all right. And boy, it got worse and worse and worse. And I told him, you need to kick him out. I can't. He'll starve. He'll this. He'll that. He can't do anything. Finally, he started selling her stuff at the pawn shop. He started going and doing all kinds of bad things. Started getting her in financial trouble and her in legal trouble. Finally, he just called me one day and said, you know what? I can't believe it. I kicked my son out. Yes. Kind of late now, but I'm glad you did it. Stipulations in life. Don't get walked on by people. It's not right. You help everybody, and you love everybody, but it doesn't mean you just, I'm free. What do you want? Come to my house. Take what you want. Do whatever you want to my family. Do whatever you want. Listen, stipulations in life. You need to have some of them. And God demanded some things. It doesn't mean you're not merciful or forgiving. You know what? You want me to pray for you and love you and counsel you and be your friend and be your side wherever? I'll do that. You want to come and drive my car? We'll see. Not everybody drives my car. You want to come hang around my kids? I have stipulations you can hang around my kids. Okay, you got to have those things in life. God had stipulations on them, and he said, blessing or curse, what do you want this day? Go back to Leviticus, just a couple books back there. Now that I'm done with my rant about stipulations. Leviticus chapter 26. You deal with the people I deal with, you will learn stipulations are a wonderful thing. And they keep you out of being abused. Let me give you, I'm going to read a long passage here. I know it's long, so prepare yourself. It'll be your Bible reading for the day. But let me just see your stipulations here. I want to show you conditional stipulations. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. If you keep my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then, there's that if and then again. Remember that. If you will do this, then I'll do this. If you walk in my commandments, keep my commandments and do them, then will I give unto you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield your fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat the bread to the full in the dwelling of your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither will the sword go through your land. Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you to be fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat the old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God that brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. That ye should not be a bondman, their bondman, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. Awesome promises. I'm going to bless you. Prosper you. I'm going to be your God. You'll be my people. Everything's going to go forward. You're going to run. Your enemy's going to run from you. This is going to be awesome if you keep my covenant. But there's the next word, verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me, will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul shall abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do the commandments, but will break my covenant. There it is. I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, fever, and they shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They shall hate you. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Whoa. Guys, I'm going to punish you if you won't hearken unto me, and if you won't do it. And you know what? If you won't listen to me then, I'm going to punish you seven times more. I would listen. And I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will send wild beasts among you, and they shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you, and shall avenge a quarrel of my covenant, when you are gathered together within your cities, and I will send a pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered to the hand of your enemies, and I will broke the staff, and goes on and on. Eventually you will be scattered to all nations. Do you want that covenant? I'm really going to bless you, but if you don't keep my covenant, my side, you do what I say, you keep your word, then you're going to get it. And I'm going to punish you. And if you at that point don't learn, I'm going to punish you more. And if you don't listen then, I'm really going to punish you. And if that doesn't work, I'm really, 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 really going to punish you. That's what he says. And he goes on for the whole chapter about that. Eventually what God says, he says, I'm going to scatter you among all nations and make you no longer a nation if you won't listen to me. And this is exactly what happened. He blessed them. They prospered. Everything was great. They got the new land. They got David. They got Solomon. Everything went great. Then they didn't do it. And God punished them. And they said, man, that was bad. Okay, God will return to you. And they returned, and then they went back. And went back. And then God punished them, and then the punishment quit working. And God said, all right, I'm going to have to do worse. And then he started sending the prophets saying, understand, if you don't turn now, you're going to be in captivity, and your nation will be destroyed. And it's going to be a long, long time before I'm ever with you again. And eventually they wouldn't listen, stoned the prophets, killed the prophets. They got prophets to say, tell me good things. Tell me everything's going to be great. Tell me we can keep doing these things. And God says, fine. And then they said, this didn't come true. Captivity and scattering was because of their violation of a covenant. Isaiah, you still with me? I wasn't boring you here. Isaiah, and then we'll bring it to a practical level here. Isaiah, let me just read to you. Isaiah talks about the scattering because of the violation of the covenant. Isaiah 24. And I'm just going to read this verse quickly. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall come to pass, as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with their master, as with the maid, so with their mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, and everybody else. Verse 23, and the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. This is Isaiah 24. Verse 4, the earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, and the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed my laws and changed the ordinance and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has a curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left, and they are scattered because they broke the covenant. A couple lessons here. Number one, expect God to keep his covenants. This is awful what happened to Israel, but here's the thing. God keeps his word. We had somebody stay in our house a long time ago, many, many years, and nobody know who this person is. And we told them, this is a troubled person and just have done a lot of bad things and had nowhere else to go. And we took a little chance, and we've done this occasionally, and we said, you're going to stay in our house. This is our old house back in Tacoma. And we said, we want you to stay here. We'll treat you great. You've had terrible parents, terrible this, terrible that. We'll give you stability and give you a good place to stay, but let us tell you the rules. Da, 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 da. Here's our rules, and once you do these things, they were, I guess, about 17, maybe 18. And they were liking it. It was a nice place. It was different from what the chaos. It had a terrible home. And we gave her a bunch of stipulations, and her boyfriend came to our church. And one day my wife told me, called me, and she was crying. She says, so-and-so just left the house. And we told her, if you go, you can't come back because you're disobeying us. And I said, okay. Did she take her stuff? No. Okay, when she comes back, make sure you give her stuff. Well, she left. She went and did what she wanted to do, which she told us she couldn't do. And she called us. Her boyfriend called me and says, I'm with her right now, and she did this, and she's really sorry. And we want you to, and by the way, I told her, I said, understand you're dealing with a different kind of person you've dealt with your whole life. People you've been with, you can't rely on them. You can rely on us. That means several things. First of all, Marines, we'll be there for you and be a best friend you've had, and we'll do what we say. Unlike what your family has done, unlike what your friends have done, we'll be there for you, and we'll do what we say. That also means we'll do what we say. When we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. For good or for bad. He called me and says, she's here. I got her here. She wants to come back home, and she's sorry. And it was later that night, and I said, man, I'm glad she's sorry, and make sure she grabs her stuff when she gets home. What do you mean? I said, she's not in her house anymore. Well, she's sorry. I said, I know she's sorry, but I told her if she does this stuff, she'll be kicked out of her house, and we keep our word. And we told her that. We keep our word, and we're going to do that. And he starts talking to her, and he says, she can't believe you're going to do that. She thinks that's really mean. She says, she thought you'd let her back in, and she just apologized. I said, that's because she's dealt with different type of people than she's dealing with now, but we keep our word. And we love her, and we love you, and we'll be glad to see you guys at church on Sunday, but she can't live in my house anymore. I don't want my kids to learn to they can disobey us and get away with it. She had an opportunity, and we gave our word. You say, Pastor, that seemingly mean. No, that girl needed to learn consequences somewhere in her life. And you know what? It's really good for her because, you know what? I visited her in jail 2 or 3 years after that. And I said, you know what? I want you to know I care about you. She said, can you get my family to come in here? I said, I'll try. Went to her mom. Mom said, I'm not visiting her. I can't stand her. It scares me. I hate being in jail. I hate seeing her there. And I could nobody visit her. Nobody. The boyfriend wouldn't visit her. The family wouldn't visit her. And we were there for her. And she said, when I get out of church and come back to church, I know you're the only real friends I have. I said, great. We'll look forward to seeing you. She hadn't come back to church yet, but I think that she knows where somebody who's real and as they say are. And you should be like that. Not mean. But your word should mean something. And God said to Israel, Israel, if you don't keep my covenants and go into idolatry, I'm going to do this. And they went like this, and they said, we did it. This is great. We're having fun with all this. We're doing all kinds of immorality. This is great. This is fun. And God said, boom. And they said, what happened? God, why'd you do this? God said, what do you mean, why'd I do it? I told you to do it. It's like your kids should know that. Your kids should know what's going to happen if they disobey. I wonder what mom and dad will do. They shouldn't ever say that. They should know exactly what you're going to do. I'm choosing to get a spanking. Not, I can't believe you chose this. You were spanking me. I don't choose to spank my kids. They choose whether I spank them. It's their choice. If you do this, you get this. If I'm a good parent, I'm not always a perfect parent. And understand, God said, if you do this, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. And then they started saying, you tell us good things, false prophets. Tell us good things. They said, look, the false prophets tell us there's peace, peace. Everything's fine. God said, and? Anyway, here's the plagues. I keep my word. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That's the New Testament. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God keeps his word. Solomon saw both. Solomon went and kept the covenants of God, and God blessed and expanded his kingdom, the greatest kingdom in the history of the world. It was wonderful blessings and blessings, and Solomon went in idolatry. And the kingdom was departed from his family. And fell apart and was scattered. Why? Because God kept his word when he kept the covenant. When he broke his word, he kept his covenant. Expect God to keep his word. You can expect that. It's a wonderful blessing because you know what? If you seek God's kingdom first, all these things will be added unto you. You will be blessed if you keep God's kingdom and put him first and do it. Put God first in life. God will provide for you. And if you don't, Malachi 3, you don't tithe, guess what happens? You're cursed to curse in your finances. Well, you know what? I'll get away with it. God keeps his word, and you will be cursed, and there will be a hole in your money bag. And you'll say, where did it all go? I should have more money in this. I can't believe this. Why? Because God's cursing your finances. Well, you know what? I got a plan to get around that. God keeps his word. God says he'll provide for you. God says he'll curse your finances. The book of Ezekiel is all about this, and we're not going to read the book of Ezekiel right now, but the whole book of Ezekiel is God saying, go tell them I did this because I told them I'd do it. I'm not surprising them. And all the time, they said, well, we had priests who told us to be fine. And God said, they're liars. Is he go telling those priests are lying to you? And you know what? What do you expect? I said I'm going to do this, and I did it. The whole book of Ezekiel is about that. God saying, I'm cursing you because I said I would. Now I'm doing this. Don't be mad. It's what I promised. That's why everything's so miserable. Number two, if you break your covenant, go back and get it right. It may not be too late. Let me take you to 2 Chronicles. If you break your covenant with God, the amazing thing is you have a very, very merciful God. God's very merciful. 2 Chronicles. Israel had broken the covenants, decided to get back, and watch God remind them of how his covenant works. And look at verse 16. Now I have chosen and sanctified this house for my name. My name may be there for... Oh, 2 Chronicles 7. Sorry, 2 Chronicles 7. And in my verse 16, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, as I have a covenant with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler of Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and ye shall serve other gods and worship, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast out of my sight, and will make thee a proverb and a byword among the nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Wait a minute. He reminds them of the covenant, but look, go back to verse 13 before that. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command to the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, look at this, if you violate my covenant, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what's amazing? God keeps his covenant, but you stand a pretty good chance, not always, Israel went too far. God said, you're in captivity. There's no stopping it now. At a certain point, God says, you've sinned unto death. Another message. But he said, if you do not go too far, and you come and repent, and say, Lord, I have broken your covenant, and not blame other people, and say, look, I accidentally messed up. No. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He says, if you will really repent, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If you break God's covenant, understand he's still a merciful God, and he still loves you. But you got to repent. And if God, a nation breaks a covenant, or a person or anything else, you understand, if you break the God's covenant, which is his word, repent. God's merciful. And we won't get to the last point, but just some good lessons on Israel's conditional covenant tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight we just learned a few lessons on covenants. Lord, I pray that you please help us to keep our covenants with you and understand that you're a God who keeps your covenants. And that's an awesome thing if we obey you, and it's a fearful thing if we don't, Father. Help us to expect you to keep your word. What a confidence that is, that we know you're going to love us and take care of us and never leave us nor forsake us. What a fearful thing it is to know that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Help us, Lord, to be careful in our covenants, and help us to really enter into close, great covenants with you, Lord. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand why we should enter into covenants with you, and why you dealt with Israel like you did. Not because you were mean and hated them. That's not why you destroyed their land and sent them into captivity. It's because you had to, because you vowed.